Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the award-winning program, Talk of the Town. I'm Denny Heindel. Today I have the honor of paying a tribute to our friend Terry Dietrich. And in front of me I have some broadcasters who've been in the business quite a long time. I feel like the youngster around here. I have John Allen, I have John Salter, Barry Morgan, Rick Porter, Larry Marshall, and John Lavelle. We're going to be talking about Terry Dietrich and a tribute to Terry, like I say, and welcome aboard, you guys.
Thanks, Denny.
Yep. John, you've been around a long time. You have a favorite story about Terry, or you know?
How much time do we have?
Much as you want.
Well, first of all, let me say thank you and to the guys that have come here today. We're a competing radio station, but when it comes to times like this, it certainly is nice to pay tribute to somebody who is really in the same family that we are all in, and we certainly appreciate that. You know, Denny, Terry is like, fits the mold of all of the sports broadcasters that I have had the privilege of being around since I began in broadcasting in 1974. You'll remember Herbie Martin, obviously,
sure.
Who, you know, was with the newspaper. But, you know, Herbie was one of those sportscasters, too, and also a writer that could broadcast a game, go back to the newspaper and pick up the stats from somebody who gave him a report from another game, and then write the report on the game, and you would have believed he was there at the game. Gibby Hoffman. I just have so much respect for Gibby, who was there when I began, and Gibby was a perfectionist. I broke into sports broadcasting with him when Bob Lupton had left the broadcast booth, and Gibby prepared his halftime show. The papers were laminated, and I was to read them, and God forbid that I made a mistake on pronunciation or read the wrong the words first, but you know, Gibby was the voice of WKBI Sports for so many years. And then we've had so many others. This guy right here, who I'm extremely proud of, is one of the best sports broadcasters, bar none. John Allen helped to create, you know, the Legion Baseball broadcast that our station did over the years. And that really is where Terry had come in through John, I think, in enhancing our broadcast. You know, a quick story about John and Terry, which I had mentioned in a little article that we put on our website in honor of Terry. I was not, I love sports, love them all, but wrestling was just one that, you know, I had absolutely no idea of. And John and Terry came to me and tried to convince me of adding more wrestling to our sports lineup and also in broadcasting the continuous coverage of district and regional wrestling. You know, from a guy that just didn't know anything about wrestling, I could not be convinced that there was that much effort or that much interest. Well, John and Terry put together a game plan, and Terry went out and visited local businesses about the possibility of doing this continuous coverage on Fridays and Saturday down at Clarion and then in Butler. And my goodness, they came back, and, you know, we had sponsors galore for doing this, and then I had to take a second look at it, and then, of course, we did it back then, and those guys would be off on Friday and start the coverage, and was always amazed at how well they could sit in the gymnasium with three mats. I believe there's three mats going at one time, and just call the coverage from all three mats and not skip a beat, and Terry was one of the best at it. But, you know, I began quickly on Terry a quick story, and I'll pass it along because I know we only have so much time, but in addition to getting that wrestling started, Donna, his wife, is my next door neighbor. Mm. Yeah, we grew up together. She lived next door for years, and you know, all know Terry was a big softball player, sports enthusiast, and I would see Terry come over and you know, pick Donna up to go to the softball games, and then really didn't know him until we met through the radio station, and he came in and of course did an outstanding job for all those years, and had so many great partners throughout those years, you guys included, that enhanced the broadcast when you could get a word in edgewise.
Oh, yeah.
I should mention about that. But one of the things that you know, through all of the sports and the stories we'll talk about in sports about Terry throughout this program, there's one thing that stands out to me above and beyond in watching Terry's family through all of this. There is one thing that stands out, and that is that Terry was most proud of being Donna's husband and being father and grandfather to those kids.
Pretty nice, John. Yeah, thank you very much. That's very nice, John. John Lovell, John, what's your thoughts on Terry?
Well, Denny, I got to turn it back a few years. First of all, anyone 60 or younger to me is a kid. So Terry is a kid to me, and I know he passed on at 57, but he was a sophomore when I started teaching at Ridgeway. And his junior year, he had my class for data processing. Of course, he was a good high school basketball player. But I can still picture where he sat in data processing, right up front there and putting the wires in the boards back in those days, which, of course, is antiquated now. But he was just a nice kid, congenial kid, outgoing kid, popular kid. Of course, graduated in the Ridgeway class of 1972, which I feel is one of the most unified classes through the years that I've seen. They're together every year. So, you know, I've had his brothers and sisters in class. I've had his children in class. He just comes from a great family. And as far as these last 3 years, getting to know him again in broadcasting, he's just, you know, he would talk about his cancer, which he had for 11 years, but only if you ask him. He was never complaining, never, and he was in a lot of pain, especially this last year. But, you know, I just really admired his 35 years in broadcasting. What a professional he was, and what a great guy, what an outgoing guy. Through the years, raised money for the American Cancer Society, and just a giving person, a nice person, well liked by all. And his legacy will probably be his broadcasting, but boy, there were a lot of aspects to his life, and he was just a great guy. Comes from a great family, and 57 to me, Denny, is way too young to go.
John, you did the last game with him. What was the feeling like in the last game?
Well, the last game, he seemed okay, but I think it was a game or two before that. It was a Johnsonburg game, and he was in great pain. And, you know, he was suffering. His back was hurting him. I couldn't believe that he went on the air, but, boy, when he was on the air, he was all professional, didn't let it bother him. And the last game, you know, Ridgeway lost at the last few seconds of that game, and we were hoping to go on and play ECC in the next round. But, yeah, you kind of got the feeling that was Terry was not going to be around next year. He was in a lot of pain, and he took these blood treatments in January and February, three sessions where they would take his blood on a Friday, do some white blood cell analysis, put it back in his body on Monday. And from that point on, he just seemed to go downhill. And yeah, I just got the feeling he wasn't going to be around for next year's broadcast. And that's a very sad thing.
Okay. What about, have any light moments with Terry sometimes that maybe he might have not showed up or showed up late or had a rough time getting on the air or something like that?
Not have done this, myself not doing this very long, you know. Sometimes Terry would be there and we'd set up and we'd be comfortable and we'd go on the air 10 minutes before the game. Sometimes 1 minute before the game we're not set up and I'm looking around for Terry. He was a veteran and he always was there on time and we got the job done and it was just a pleasure working with him. I admired him very much.
Larry, you have any thoughts regarding Terry Dietrich?
Oh, I got a few thoughts. going back with Terry, he struggled in the early 90s to find a consistent partner. So when my son graduated the year 95 and he's playing football, Terry had me do a couple games with him then. And I said to myself, why don't I just help him out? You know, so I've been 96, that fall of 96 till last fall, 16 years, you know, with Terry, you come along and you see he's kind of do a lot of games with them, and there's so many antics and funny things that you do, and people say, well, aren't you mad at Terry for saying something to you? But they don't so know inside that booth with that headset on, we're laughing at each other. You create controversy, and then, you know, people say, well, they want to listen, you know. So Terry was pretty smart with that, but he was the main voice, you know. But I would take stats and do little quirky jokes and stuff on the radio, keep things lively, keep things going. And Terry just loved to be silly and have fun, and he's just a great guy to be around. I helped him out. He tried to run for mayor here. I'd stand at the poll with him, and, you know, and how's it going down here? Good, Terry. You're doing good, you know, and we'd meet later, and he'd come back down, and you need a break yet? No, Terry, you know, I knew he had cancer, but you, like you say, you just, he's such a lovable guy. You didn't want to disappoint him, you know. You just, what we did in the 16 years of football, and I know I did a couple shots with John and Dean Page back early 90s, late 80s with wrestling, and then I'm going to say it's me and Terry for the last 15 years in wrestling, too. So it's a lot of fun moments. And going back, what John says about Donna and the family, he was always, you know, the year age of the text messaging, you know. They're texting about, you know, the baby did this, or the child can hear you, Dad, Papa, say hi. So he'd say hi to the kids at home, and, you know, and then he'd worry about Randy Joe and in the military, and just so many things that I can go on and on forever. I know you're short on time here, but
we got plenty of time.
A year ago, with Adam, we Terry pulls into the house. We're on our way to districts. And it was a Friday, and he's a little late. Actually, he called me and said, Larry, you're going to have to go yourself. You're going to have to find somebody. And you're saying, John, last minute you're looking for somebody, and I'm scrambling. Finally, I found a buddy of mine to go down, but he didn't want to go on the air. So I'm sitting there, and thank goodness I'm a wrestling coach from Ridgeway, because all the wrestlers come over and started helping out, you know. And here Adam was sick and in the hospital, and Terry texts me and goes, I just can't make it. You're going to have to do it. And, you know, can you get a ride? And all, everything going good? And yeah, Terry's, he worried, even though his son was sick, he was so worried about getting the broadcast out. He just loves sports and getting kids' names on the radio and letting everybody know how the sports are going. So the next day comes, he picks me up. We drive down to Clarion. I said, how's Adam? Oh, he'll be all right. So we get set up. We're in the booth. We're about ready to go on the air. Adam had a heart attack.
Oh, boy.
Terry takes off. Don't worry about me. So he's worried about the radio, but then really worried, concerned about his family. He was a big, big-time family man. He loved his kids, loved to talk to me about them on our rides and our journeys and our trips. I think it's tomorrow, Denny, help me out over here.
Relay for Life.
I'd go over, I would do the odd hours. You know, Gene and Diane Zelks would have a booth, and that's his brother-in-law Gene, and Diane would have a booth, and Terry would have his, I think he walked for Alpha Synod. They had a team. So, and he knows I'm a early morning person, so I'd do like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock when he first started doing this. And then I still made it over for a couple walks with him, but I tried to help him even in the summertime too. So he's really big on, you know, he never let anybody know about his cancer. I had people walk up to me even as in March at that spaghetti dinner and say, I didn't know he's sick. Why didn't you tell me? Well, yeah. What are we supposed to do? Be on the air saying, well, this is Terry and Larry. Terry has cancer right now. You know, I mean, people don't know. You don't, and I, you know, just, you don't tell people, you know. But he kept it hid, like John were saying. He kept everything hid, kept low profile, was upbeat all the time. Even towards the end, he's upbeat. And that was Terry. Just, you celebrate lives. His life really needs to be celebrated. He was a good guy. He really was.
One thing I remember and stands out in my mind is when there was a play, I mean, he really got excited, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He could hear. He didn't even need a microphone. He just yelled, you know. That was great.
Oh, yeah. He got excited. And then you could hear him on the other radio stations, too.
Exactly.
I remember Barry looking over at because they'd be in the booth next to us. He'd be looking over, good play, huh? Yeah. Give a thumbs up, and you know, and just meeting the guys in here, and knowing we were at it this long, I can't even believe when Barry talked to me on the phone. I said, "Well, gee, let me count, 16 years. It's a long time, and he's done it for 35." So,
like I say, I feel like the youngster in here, and it's like having the Hall of Fame of sports broadcasters in front of me here, you know, of Elk County. You know, it's neat to have you guys here, and what a tribute to Terry,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
How many years did you broadcast with him as a partner?
16 straight in football. I think in wrestling, I done a couple ins and outs with John and Dean Page and Terry, and then I think it's probably about 16 years straight in wrestling, too.
Is there one match or one football game or basketball game that might stand out in your mind that you did with Terry?
Oh, there's thousands, Denny, but there's a couple good wrestling matches we've done, district matches where and the fellow I'm going to talk about was from Brookville, our rival. He won a match over Brockway. And Terry and I watched this match, and the crowd is just jeering this poor kid that just beat a state champ, and he gets thrown out of the tournament for giving the guns. And Terry got vocal about it. And if you know Terry and Bob Colgan, they're pretty good buddies. And Bob happened to be a side judge or Matt judge that match. And so it kept a war between them two, but they stayed buddies, you know. And that was probably a match at districts and that I can think of. But there's a lot of good dual meets. And then football, I can remember calling a couple games with Terry, but one I couldn't call because there was no room. And it was Clarion Limestone, and it was like 10 below the wind chill. And it's late November, early November, and it was really cold out, and I had to stand on the sidelines. But guess what? Terry had to sit outside in that cold, and because there's no room in the booth down there. Nowadays, they got a new booth set up down there at Clarion Limestone. Back in the day, sometimes he had to announce outside, but he stuck with it, his big heart, and you know, big lug, big heart, you know. He stuck with it, and he announced. He did them games in that freezing cold. I could at least walk around. I'd go get him a cup of coffee or something, but, you know, it's...
Rick Porter, Rick, I understand you did one of the first basketball or football games with Terry, right?
Yes, I did. Back in 1977, I was just thinking. Well, first of all, thanks, thanks for inviting me, because it's kind of weird seeing all these guys together in the same room without a basketball bouncing or not a press box, but
a headset. Huh?
Yeah, did that first game back in 1977 with Terry, and I was just a high school kid. I was too skinny to play football, so I worked at the local radio station downtown in Ridgeway. It was above where the Dollar General store is now. It's WTMX. And just to keep things in perspective, the Hound here is a 50,000-watt radio station. That station was a 740-watt station. So if you were, you know, lashed to the tower, you could pick up the signal. But we did the Ridgeway football games, and Terry started the second game of the year. And I won't go into the whole story of what happened, but let's just say the guy that did the first game with me, he said something that the FCC would not have appreciated, and they decided after that first game that probably wouldn't be a good idea to have him do it anymore. So they said, all right, starting next game, you're going to work with this guy, Terry Dietrich. And I'd kind of known Terry. I've always like been a high school basketball fan, even since I was a little kid. And I can remember, I was in elementary school and Terry was playing on the varsity team, and I remember him as a pretty good player, but, I thought of him then because I was a high school kid as you know, he was the old guy, and he was probably like 23 or 24 years old. So he picks me up for the first game that we're going to do, and his car, you guys remember, I'm sure, Terry's car. We can't let the show go by without mentioning his car. He'd have stuff stacked up so high in his car, papers, folders, magazines, you can't, there was a Halloween mask in there the one game, and it was before Halloween. I said, you getting ready for Halloween early? He said, nah, that's been in there since last year, he said. So, but it was so much fun traveling with him. And I guess if I remember one game in particular, we were doing games that first season when Ridgeway had that first really long winning streak that they had, a 33-game unbeaten streak. and we went up to Youngsville, the game where the streak was snapped, and it was a driving rainstorm. And back then, Terry, you know, he was, you know, I was the guy that worked at the radio station, and he was the guy they hired to do the play-by-play. He didn't know anything about the equipment, so he's just sitting there in his chair. I'm just frazzled because we get there in a driving rainstorm, and they're the back in those days, the equipment was a lot different. I mean, you did a lot of creative stuff with duct tape and pieces of wire and paper clips that you don't have to do now. Well, we get there, we're up in Warren County. They had a different phone system. They had a different phone service provider up there, and the jacks that we had, the plugs didn't match the jacks that they had up there. And I'm like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He's sitting in a chair, was leaning back going, yeah, you'll figure something out. Don't worry about it. Well, I'm running around hardware stores in Youngsville in a driving rainstorm looking for stuff to patch the equipment in. We actually missed the first half of the game. Didn't get it on the air. And then at halftime, the rain stopped, and we were there in Ridgeway, ended up losing that game. I think it was 18-6, and there were some questionable calls that Terry would remember the, let's just, well, we all know about Warren County officiating back in those days. And, Terry was not shy about mentioning it. And it just seems kind of weird because he was basically just a kid then too, but he just was so cool and calm, and, he could find a fun in every situation. You know, no matter what it was, we all panicked and he'd be there. Ah, don't worry about it. We're just having fun. And, that's what I loved about working with the guy. I only got to work with him that one season, but it was his first season, and, never forget that as long as I live. About as much fun as you can have.
John Allen, you've been around a long time, and a lot of you seem like John Salter. A lot of people come and go. You have a favorite memory of Terry Dietrich?
Well, yes, Denny, and thanks for inviting me to be a part of the show as well. And we go back a long time, Terry and I. Rick talked about the car. First time I did see the car, the famous car with Terry when he showed up at our house as an insurance guy. selling insurance, that might explain maybe some of those papers, you know, being in the car. For that time, when I first started even thinking about broadcasting, I saw Terry in the famous crow's nest there in Ridgeway at the high school. Coach Lovell might remember that before the renovations went on at the school. And I approached Terry and I said about broadcasting. I said, do you do internships at the, you know, at the broadcasting? He said, internships? You might want to maybe go to school for that. And I just went to school and he said, well, check it out. You might want to go to the radio station. And that's when, John had an opening, you know, at WKBI there. And that's how I actually started. So that's what made the room. And then eventually doing broadcasting and sports, and eventually we met, you know, with Terry, and then, you know, during the broadcast. As far as memories with Terry, referring to Rick and doing different sporting events and eventually the wrestling and different things, we did one story I can relate to with Terry and equipment problems. We went to the wrestling event, and we started patching in the equipment and hooking it up, and I didn't have one particular a wire or, you know, a jack to plug in to make it adaptable for the equipment. So, yes, panic situation set in, and we had to go run to the Radio Shack or whatever and, you know, get that equipment. And so Terry stayed at the event, you know, to get all the stats and completed for us. And, we ran out to the store and got it and came back. And then Terry, so did you get all those, you know, matches updated? Said, sure, I had to cover all formats here at the regionals. Well, you guys were out there, you know, getting all the, you know, but yet Terry was able to keep track of all four of the mats at the same time. You know, we got that all hooked up. Different stories outside of the broadcasting and memories. John mentioned about Terry being a very good athlete playing softball. And he was a very good athlete. He mentioned about hitting the ball and, you know, running around, and he'd always crush that softball and hit it over the fence. Now, I couldn't hit that softball over the fence. And he says, well, Cooney, his nickname was Cooney, he says, now, if you hit the ball high enough and if you run around the bases and hit home plate before they catch it, that's a home run. He says, you ought to try that. He goes, you know, as far as that goes.
Yeah.
So I always remember that as a pretty good story. We had mentioned about Terry being a huge, huge Pirate fan. And I know with the Howland Caring Pirate Baseball, mentioned about the D on his hat. And Larry mentioned about helping out Terry running for mayor in town. The D on his hat, I was talking to Adam, well, why is he wearing the Detroit Tiger hat, you know, on his hat, or, you know, on the hat? He says, well, he liked the insignia of the D for Terry Dietrich, the D. That's why he wore the D. And then when he ran for mayor, that's what the D was on for Terry Dietrich on his sign. So that's the story behind the D on his hat. There were so many great stories in the broadcasting. Larry mentioned about what goes on behind the scenes. And the stories we could tell could go on forever, as John mentioned, that we could go on and on. Things we would say when we're off the air, and then when the mic would come back on and we didn't know we were on the air.
Does that really happen, John?
Yes, it does. You talk about, did you see so-and-so in the stands? Did you see what they just did? one time, if we can't say this, did you talk about so-and-so's, you know, and it would come on the air, and then, next thing you know, with Terry's big laugh,
yeah,
it would come right out, and we would have to obviously keep our composure the best we could. So, I mean, those kind of memories will live, you know, we'll remember forever. Some memories were sitting out in the cold at different places. And today, the announcers would probably laugh and say, well, geez, we stood out in these snowstorms during the Brockway playoff games, as Barry can recall this past season following Brockway at you know, this past football season. But back then, sitting out in the cold was almost a constant because the press boxes were so small. And anytime you traveled around, you know, in the past, you know, 10 years or so, the press boxes were so small, like Clarion Limestones. I think you could only fit the scorekeeper and the PA announcer in some of these press boxes. So imagine Terry with his size, you know, you put Terry in there, and there was, you know, where else could anybody else sit? But Terry wouldn't, you know, he was such a great person to be around and during these broadcasts. Not only was the football, but Coach Lovell would mention the basketball. Anytime he would do a broadcasting event, he was so dedicated to, he knew the parents, he knew the kids, and then whether it was Ridgeway, Johnsonburg, the Elk County Holiday Basketball Tournament, he appreciated the, you know, behind the sports, and he treated those kids as if they were his own when they were on that basketball court, football field, or on that wrestling mat. He made sure they got the best coverage when he talked about them. He was fair to them, and he wanted to make sure they were mentioned, whether they were a JV player or not. Mm-hmm. I recalled one story. My brother, my youngest brother, Herbie, was playing, and he didn't get in to start at all, but he would get in at the moment when some of the games were blown out, or he'd get in for a particular play. I was broadcasting on our sister station at the time, AM 1400. While I was doing the play-by-play, I actually had the radio station FM with a earpiece on my one ear. he said the sidekick at the time was Ron Sprague. This is almost like 20 years ago. And Ron says, Herb Kuhn's in the game. And Terry would go, who?
With his voice, yeah.
And Ron says, Herb Kuhn's in the game. And Terry says, that's twice you said his name. So, and those are the things that Terry would do, so you could hear, you know, the JV player.
Across,
get this to make sure you'd hear his name. Those are just little things that Terry would do just to make sure. And just to give you an example, Ridgeway's football program was down the last couple of years. Any announcer would sit there and go, man, what are they doing out there? But they would look past, you know, they'd say, man, that coach, what's he doing? Or can't they? But Terry would stay 100% positive no matter what the situation is. And he would support any team, whether they were 9-0, 4-7, or 0-10. He would give 100% to that program. Just this case, and Coach Lovell would say that, and even Larry right here. Whether it was Johnsonburg 0-10, Ridgeway 0-10, or Johnsonburg's basketball program, or Elk County Catholic, or St. Mary's, he would support that program and broadcast no matter what. He would give them all a fair shake. And, you know, you couldn't tell whether that team was 0-10 or 10-0 the way he was broadcasting.